Deuteronomy chapter 19, and the text for this morning is verse 21. Thus you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 21 is another one of those texts in the book of Deuteronomy quoted in the New Testament. And of course, we're reviewing those texts, and in God's providence, we come to Deuteronomy 19:21 this morning. Now, at first glance, we would think that Deuteronomy 19:21, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, and in other places in the Old Testament are added life for life, that Deuteronomy 19:21 is a text which requires of us a vengeful attitude toward others and a desire for exact justice. In my years in the ministry, I have, in fact, tired of individuals, and especially elders and pastors, who have desired exact justice and immediate justice, and have had, in fact, a vengeful kind of attitude. I really have. I'm tired of that. And last week I made a comment in evening worship that some might take exception to. I said something like this. Jesus did not say, when he outlined the characteristics of a church, they will know you are my disciples because of your doctrinal stand. Jesus didn't say that. In fact, Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples because you love one another. And that's not to say we should not be exact. That's not to say that we should deplore doctrine. We do not. But it is to say that the love and mercy and grace of God need to be our priority in all of life and worship. And I think this is exactly what our text brings us to this morning. And if you look again at the head of the outline, I say this, and I think it is correct. As God's covenant people, we love mercy because of Christ. And I could have put it this way and probably should have. And because we are recipients of God's mercy and love. And so it is. And this is what Jesus leads us to in his use of this text in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 21. So I want us, first of all, to look at this text in its overall context and understand it. And then I want us to go to the Gospels, specifically Matthew chapter 5, and look at the use of this text by our Lord Jesus and see the application of it for our lives and how it is, dear friends in Christ, we need to love mercy. So, here is the context. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verses 15 and following. A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. This is a context of the legal setting. It is the context of the court It is the context in which there is litigation and there are witnesses and there is testimony that is brought by witnesses and there is evidence. Verse 16, if a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, that is, if there is a witness who perjures himself or perjures herself, if there is a witness who comes into the court to give false testimony in order to see, because of bad motives, that the individual who is accused will be convicted. If a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who will be in office in those days. You see, this is the official context. This is not just individual to individual. This is in the official context of the government of the people of God. And we need to understand that that's the case. Verse 18, the judges shall investigate thoroughly, and if the witness is a false witness, and he has accused his brother falsely. You see, there's an investigation, and the judges will do the investigating. This, again, you see, is a narrow context. It is a legal context. And I submit to you, we need to understand that that's the case. Verse 19, then you shall do to him just as he had intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. The rest will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such an evil thing among you. Thus you shall not show pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. In the first point, I simply want to make this point, and it is an important point, that the context of our text is the context of false testimony being given in court. Okay? That's where we start. And that's the overall context. And as we see in verse 21, thus you shall not show pity. Who is it that is not to show pity? It is the judges who are not to show pity. The judges shall investigate thoroughly. Verse 18. And if you witness a false witness, and if the witness is a false witness and he has accused his brother falsely, you see, that's the context. And if the judge comes to the conclusion that there has been false testimony, verse 21 says, you shall not show pity. That is, the judge shall not show pity. Now, here is the best example I think we can possibly see. And I'm sorry that this is a good example. I really am. It saddens my heart that this is an example of what the text is talking about. But when a man like the President of the United States lies under oath and perjures himself, this is exactly what the text is talking about. And when a body like the Senate of the United States conducts an investigation and there is ample evidence that the individual has lied under oath and perjured himself, the judges are to have no pity. And it is a fact in our society today that when a judicial body with adequate evidence shows pity and does not exact the punishment required, that body, like the Senate of the United States, stands in violation of the Word of God. And it is a very sad thing to be able even to say that this is the case. But this is what our text is talking about. Do you get the idea? The text is not talking about individuals acting on their own. Please keep your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and go back to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And verses 17 and 18. You see, here is another word of God to individuals like us. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. That is, you shall not bear hatred in your heart toward your brother. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And we hear in the background Jesus answering the scribe who came to him and asked him that question. What is the great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And that comes from Deuteronomy. And certainly that is the theme of that great book as we have discussed it. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you shall not bear in your heart a hatred toward your neighbor, and there shall not be a vengeful spirit in your heart toward your neighbor. Individually, we are to bear in our hearts a love and a compassion and a mercy toward one another. That's what the Bible teaches us. And the context, go back to Deuteronomy now. The context of Deuteronomy 19 tells us that this idea of life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, is not something that we will take upon ourselves in our actions with one another and demand justice for ourselves. That's not the idea of the text. And there is a sphere in which we may operate in the church and in our civil culture where there are proper punishments which are meted out, but not acting as an individual. And so, with that context in mind, we need to turn to the New Testament. And we need to understand, with that context in mind, the words of our Lord Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew 5 now. Matthew chapter 5. And as I say in the third point in the outline, like Deuteronomy, the Sermon on the Mount governs covenantal kingdom life. We are in covenant with God. The blood of Jesus is the blood of the covenant. And we live in a relationship with God which is covenantal. And we do have tremendous privileges, but we also have responsibilities. And the Sermon on the Mount is another document like the book of Deuteronomy that outlines the kingdom life, the covenant life. And it's very interesting. Matthew 5, 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Well, that's the sixth commandment. That's the covenant that's given in Deuteronomy. And Jesus draws out the implications of the commandment. In other words, he draws out the implications of the covenant. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. There's the seventh commandment in Deuteronomy. That's the covenant. And Jesus draws out the implication of the commandment. He draws out the implication of covenant life, covenant living. Verse 31, it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. That's Deuteronomy 24. We've looked at that. That's another idea that comes out of covenant living and how the Pharisees looked at that verse and perverted it. And we discussed that. And then we come down, verse 33, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. We're going to look at that particular text. It comes out of Deuteronomy. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's our text this morning. This is an idea that comes out of covenant life, covenant living, and the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus is bringing us these things, is quite similar to the book of Deuteronomy in this regard. And Jesus commands us, dear friends in Christ, to have hearts that love mercy and not demand an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Look at the text now. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now the Pharisees were misinterpreting this text once again. And they were bringing it out of the realm of the court and the legal system and the official government of the nation, and they were bringing it down to a personal level. And you know, we have a tendency to do that. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Understand this now. What is your immediate response if someone would come up to you and slap you in the face? You say, here's the other cheek, right? No. The tendency is for the anger and the hatred to suddenly flare and well up within our hearts, and we want to get even. No. And we can never use the text in Deuteronomy to support our idea of getting even. That's the point that Jesus is making. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. You want my shirt? Take my tie. Take my undershirt. Here's my coat. Take it all. Is that the usual inclination of heart that we have? Well, why is that bugger taking me to court anyway? I'll get him. I'm going to get a good attorney, and there's going to be a countersuit, by golly. That's the normal attitude. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You see the attitude of heart that Jesus is fostering? And friends, that's the attitude of heart of Christianity. It really is. We are not to have a vengeful heart. Now, to help us understand this, we can examine the context in Matthew. Read on in Matthew. Look at what verse 43 says. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you and reward, love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers, the tax collectors do the same? Love your enemy. That's the attitude that Jesus is fostering. And we dare not retreat to the idea in Deuteronomy that is not applicable to us as individuals. We are to love mercy and love grace. And therefore, be merciful and gracious individuals. I'd like you to see the parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke. Would you turn there with me, please? To Luke chapter 6 and verses 27 and following. Luke chapter 6. And verses 27 and following. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way that you want them to treat you. Etc., etc. And so the context in which Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 19:21 is the context in which Jesus is anxious for us to understand that we are to love mercy and not put as a priority in our personal lives the exaction of justice from everyone at every point. And here, dear friends, it seems to me, is where the rubber meets the road. Because if we really do love mercy, we realize God did not require from us. God did not require from you an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a hand for a hand and life for life. God, on the other hand, loves mercy. And he loved his enemy. And because that's the case, you are here even now. It's a profound thing, friends, that when Jesus says those wonderful words, "For God so loved the world," and we understand that the world in the Bible is not simply this sphere running pell-mell through space upon which we live, but it is a spiritual realm ruled by the devil, and it is darkness. It is a place which is hostile towards God. That God so loved the world, that which was hostile towards Him, that He sent His Son Jesus Christ into that hostile territory to get people like us out of that darkness and bring them into great light. And I submit to you that God has shown great mercy and forbearance for the likes of us. And isn't it true that He could have said, "Denny, I'm exacting from you an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a hand for a hand. And for every time you've embellished the truth and violated the eighth commandment, the ninth commandment, you are going to pay the penalty in hell for that." But He's not exacted that punishment. He has shown mercy and grace. And I submit to you that if you are indeed an individual who is a recipient of that mercy and grace, you too will love mercy, and as a result, show great mercy, not misapplying Deuteronomy 19:21, but understanding its proper context, and at the same time understanding the kind of life that God would have you live in this world under His grace and mercy. May God fill our hearts with His love and mercy so that we live in this fashion. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we seek Your face and ask Your forgiveness for the times we have not loved mercy, but been more concerned about exacting justice for ourselves. Forgive us of that. Work deeply in our hearts, we pray, that we may love You and as a consequence love the mercy that You have given to us. And so love one another. And have, Father, in our hearts. That mark of true discipleship. Grant it, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.